Good evening. Tonight, we are going to follow through from where we left off last week, and there, of course, we isolated the six elements that go into a decision and also looked at the 13 deadly sins of decision-making. And one of the elements that we recognized was the existence of unknowns. And our purpose tonight is to determine a profitable attitude and a profitable method of dealing with these unknown factors, since they're going to be present to some extent in every decision. But before beginning, I would like to take a few moments to remind you of a few things that I said at the outset of the course. One of the suggestions I made at that time was that you withhold making any great application of any of this material, even if it makes complete sense to you, until the entire course is completed. And this is because the entire course represents an integrated philosophy that is one whole concept. But it, of course, has to be presented in pieces, and it's even better presented in pieces. But this means that certain points will be presented pending counterpoints to come further in the course. If something that was said last week, for instance, makes excellent sense to you, for example, then notice how it can be used in many small ways in your life, but refrain from making any large-scale decisions or changes in your life based upon some point that was made, even if you feel that that point was very logical. If it was a point you've been using all your life, of course, this is something else. But if it's a new point and it seems to make complete sense to you, then I do suggest that you hold off for a little bit. You might, for instance, however, notice that you were about to engage in an act that was simply for the purpose of proving something to somebody else, like taking revenge or showing him how stupid he was or something. And if you refrain from committing that act, obviously this is an employment of the philosophy in a small daily decision that can't possibly harm you, even if you turn out to do it entirely wrong and the consequences are bad. But on the other hand, if you happen to be in the business of, say, engineering consumer boycotts or helping people get revenge against other people, I don't suggest that you put a liquidation sale ad in the paper and plan on going out of business right away. In other words, try out the ideas in small applications and see how they work for you, but save any major steps until the entire concept has been presented and all of its counterpoints have been put alongside of the points that I've been trying to make up to now. Another aspect of this need to get the whole story was made evident last week in the discussion period here when one questioner suggested that my view of reality was that reality is all bad and you should therefore realize it and build a wall around yourself and isolate yourself from the world, and this is the sum and substance of the philosophy. Well, to that I do have to plead guilty, not in the sense that this is what I fully believe, but rather in the sense that up to now this perhaps is the impression I have given by the three sessions we've had so far. It could lead to that kind of a conclusion. However, there is more to come, and I'm not going to take it to that kind of a conclusion, but I am anxious that we start from zero, expecting no more from reality than it has to give. It doesn't do you any good in any way to think that there is more that you can get out of reality than exists there. But once having recognized what is there and what you can truly work with, you don't waste your resources trying to do what can never be done, and so you get more out of reality than you would have otherwise, because all of your resources, or most of them then, are spent profitably for you. Now, I don't think you're going to find the presentation completely black between now and session 8, but at that time I will turn the thing around entirely to the positive and start demonstrating many of the ways that this understanding can be used to your advantage to immediate profit. But in the meantime, I may spend more time tearing down what I feel to be misconceptions than building ways of replacement right off the bat. Now, one other point I believe is important. We are dealing with the very imprecise science of communication. I'm employing every worthwhile technique that I know of to make it as easy as possible for you to know exactly what I'm saying. But all the techniques that I know on this subject still are not nearly enough. I cannot communicate precisely exactly what it is I'm thinking in each case. And that means for you to profit from the course, you are going to have to work at it a bit to help overcome my inefficiencies in transmission. It isn't enough that I define my words, because if I have defined a word in any way that is different than you have been using it before, it means every time I use it, you have to make a translation. And I recognize that that is not easy. It isn't easy for you to stop every time I use a word and remind yourself that he means something different by that from what I have been using that word in all my life. So I try to make the definitions as close as possible to the general usage of the word, only clarifying more precisely where the dividing line is within the word between what is and what isn't. But still, I am